Today's scriptures are from Romans and Luke. Romans chapter 15, verse 1b through 3a. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself.
Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and leaders should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here, for I'm among you as the one who serves." Please enjoy our work trip video. We hope it gives you a window into what we experienced and inspires you to serve in the future.
Wa maya kayo, ay ay ay. Let us pray. Embraced and enfolded into the family of God, in gratitude, let us respond generously with our time, talent, and finances to our church's resources. May what we offer be shared with the whole family of God. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for our offering?
Stories of what think your life. I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night and tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Your good, good Father. To you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, and I've seen many searching for answers far and good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Your good, good Father. It's who you are.
I'd like to read you a Native American poem. This is by Hazel June Horse Chief Marshall. Pretty cool name. There are a lot of people we met with really cool names out there. The poem is called Walk Softly. When joy fills us, we will walk softly. When our hearts are rejoicing, we will walk softly. When we recognize Jesus sits, walks, and stands beside us, we will walk softly. When we hear pain and suffering of others, we will walk softly. When hearts are stricken by grief, we will walk softly. When all around us is attacking our faith, we will walk softly. When doubt fills our days, we will walk softly. When others are watching, we will walk softly. As we lead others into the path of righteousness for his name's sake, we will walk softly.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Awesome. So my name is David Ryder. I am an Eisenhower graduate as of this year. Thank you. I tried. So on work trip, we traveled to South Dakota. If you don't know, that's really, really far. There's nothing. We went there to help others with especially the Tree of Life Ministry, who's a big part of where we went. And we just went to go help out the community. I thought there was a ringing. And, you know, just try and, like, help out as much as possible because our theme was Serving others is love in action. So I'm going to give you a little overview. So we went on the bus on Saturday, didn't arrive to the actual place until Sunday. It's a long bus ride, filled to nowhere. So we get there, and we get to South Dakota, to about where we're about to be, and I found it odd that there was nothing. And then you found a Wells Fargo, a Subway, and a Napa Auto Parts. And I was like, man. And then someone said, we're here. I was like, what? Basically our day, our regular work day, started with Grant Rennie. Very, very fond of him. He always played music. He always played music in the morning of his choice. Some of it was questionable. But he always ended up waking all of us up, and we get ready, have some breakfast, you know, do the fun stuff in the morning that no one wants to do. And we go out at about 8:30, and we go out and do work, kind of help out the community, and we had options. Like we could have helped them clean out a warehouse, which is attached to like a thrift store. We could have helped out in the soup kitchen for some days, and a garden, help make that better. So I personally chose the garden because I figured, well, I might get a tan. I got a little bit, all right. So every day we work from 8:30 to about 12-ish, 12:30-ish. We go back to where we're staying, and we have lunch. And then about 30, 40 minutes go by, and we come back to where we're working, our work sites, and we had the opportunity to change. I changed one time, and that was because it was super hot. And I really didn't want to be out in the heat. But that's all it was. So then afterwards, we work until about 3:30. So then after all that, we're all disgusting. You know, we're all teenagers, most of us that went, so we're all disgusting, no matter what they say. So we had to you know, shower, freshen up before dinner, and so we have dinner, and we would after dinner, or I think one night it was before, we would learn about the Native American culture there and what they do. Like in the video, it showed one Native American guy. He showed us a lot of Native American games that you have to play in the winter. And it was July or June. It was June. So, I don't know. And then, you know, we had the Native American chief came to our place one day, talked about stories from it, other stories that he's told, legends. I enjoyed it. And then on Wednesday was kind of our off day. You know, we went to Mount Rushmore, which is really fun, because that's the only thing in South Dakota worthwhile sometimes. Hey, I'm sorry. That was a long bus ride in itself, too, because that was about a three-hour bus ride that day, to and from 3 hours. Then on Thursday, after we're done working, we had the opportunity, some of us, decided to go to a cleansing type deal for Native Americans, and it's basically their way of cleaning the sins that they've done, or in cleaning all the bad stuff. Basically what it is they're in you're put in this little hut type thing. It's really small. The only way you can get in is if you crawl, and then you have to sit down by a pit, and the chief ordered people to put scalding hot rocks that have been in the fire for probably hours. And then so he pours water on them, and, you know, it releases a smoke, kind of like a sauna. But it's the hottest sauna I've ever been in. The chief even told us at the beginning, don't even ask how hot it gets, because I don't even know. But all I know is that I've never been in a sauna that it's even hot to touch your own hair. So it was hot. But basically, by the end of it, we're all dripping in sweat, you know, cleansing, like the Native Americans do. And, you know, we're all, you could just hear it. I mean, it was like a squishy sound every time somebody moved. It was very, very bad. I mean, afterwards, after you took a shower, it felt great. I mean, you felt cleansed, which is the point. And then, you know, Friday, we had a carnival, which was really fun. I loved to see all the young kids and adults, you know, come and enjoy the carnival. So, and then Saturday we left and then came back. Yeah. So that's a little overview. My personal favorite was the sauna type thing. I know. It was horrible, but hey, you dealt with it, and you know, I would do it again. Somebody asked me that just afterwards, and I'm like, I wouldn't do it now, but yeah, sure, maybe a day or so, yeah. So basically, we had a lot of fun. A lot of us are good friends. A lot of us are new on work trip, so it was really fun to see everybody, meet new people, and just have great experiences. And that's what work trip's all about, is helping people and just making relationships that you wouldn't have made otherwise. So thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chloe Schultz. I'm going to be a senior at Rochester High School this year. So the first thing that struck me about this trip was just how exceptionally long the bus ride was. Seriously, we drove straight through the night, and in order to get a good night's sleep, you had to be at least 5'5 or under. Sorry, if you're not, sorry, you're on your own. You had to be, because how else were you supposed to smush yourself into one row of seats and not have your feet become a tripping hazard? But this didn't really matter, because we were there to work, and work we did. My project, or anointment, as our sponsor Linda called it, was this run-down old bus that was covered in flaking blue and white paint in an almost tie-dye-like pattern with a flaking cross on the side that Linda had literally bought for $10. If I had to guess, it was previously used by a church youth group of some kind. My job was to design a painting that would go on it, gather a team, and execute it. The ideas started flowing almost immediately. Ooh, maybe there should be a deer skull right there, and a tree over here, and feathers. I want feathers all over this thing. And then I stopped and thought to myself, no, this isn't right. I'm assuming what this community is about, assuming what they want. I'm digesting what little I've seen of this community and spitting out a stereotype. No. I can't do this. Part of the Tree of Life ministry and mission is a soup kitchen, which was conveniently located right next to the dorms where we were staying. I thought of no better way to get an idea than to actually ask the people themselves. What icons, symbols, colors just screamed Lakota and mission. After we had placed cinnamon rolls on baking sheets and slathered them in icing, the people started to trickle in. And there I stood, red notebook in hand, ready to ask them my probably pretty strange question. Right off the bat, I knew I'd ask the right people. An older gentleman named Jeff was among the first that I asked. He had lived on the reservation his whole life and even went to the school that was downtown. Jeff had many ideas because he just happened to be an artist. He told me that the school was a point of pride for the community. He told me that I should do the plains, land and sky, with buffalo grazing and falcons, the school's mascot, flying in the sky. This, minus the buffalo and falcons, became the basis for my design. Others mentioned a medicine wheel, an important Lakota symbol, so I put that on the back. Another common feature that I saw was this beautiful beadwork. It was on earrings, on collars, on trims, All these geometric patterns, with the most common colors being black, white, red, orange, and blue, something that's culturally significant to them that I had to include in my design. And as I stood there among the sights and smells of the first soup kitchen I had ever served in, something that Linda said the previous day came back to me. Linda had said, by talking about it, they get it back. In that phrase, she was referring to culture, their traditions. They were all forcefully taken away from them, and I realized that by asking them about what they wanted, not only was I including them in the process of something that was going to be in their community, but also giving them just a little piece of their culture back that was ripped away from them. And that's why I felt anointed, because I wanted to give back to a people that has suffered so much over the years. And yet, despite all that, they're still spiritual. Seeing this, their spirituality helped me grow in my own faith. When I went to South Dakota, I didn't really know what to expect. We all didn't know what to expect, but we left fulfilled with a volunteer experience unlike anything St. Paul's has done in the past. And I'm glad I got to give back to a community, even just a little bit of a culture, by leaving a piece of art for the Lakota people to enjoy. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nolan Bruce, and I'm going to be a senior next year. I got onto the bus for Work Trip 2019 not knowing what to expect. I had heard nothing but great things about previous work trips, but I wanted to see for myself what made it so special. After a long, and I mean long, and quiet 20-hour bus ride, we arrived in South Dakota. That night, we met Linda, the leader of Tree of Life, who showed us the garden they were starting, the soup kitchen they were running, the warehouse that needed cleaning, their run-down bus, and their small thrift store, and I began to realize why we were there. Everyone got an idea of where they would best be suited to help, and the next day, we went to work. Each day, everyone put forth their best effort as we watched each project's monumental progress. I could not believe how many boxes were cleared out from the warehouse, how many people were fed at the soup kitchen, or how quickly the bus turned into a work of art. I worked in the garden, and I couldn't even believe how quickly we got that together. And on Friday, we had a whole carnival put together in an hour, and it ran smoothly. But what truly amazed and inspired me about this trip was something that most people probably don't recognize and has gone largely unnoticed. Each night, a native from the area would come over to our outside space and tell us about a different part of their culture. We got to hear stories from their religion and about their past, got to learn and play games, and got to listen to their music. Some of us, myself included, even participated in a sweat, where we went into a buffalo skin tent well over 100 degrees and heard songs and learned about native culture. These experiences created a noticeable change in not only our perception of the way of life of the Lakota or of Chief Hollow Horn Bear, but in our outlook on the experience as a whole. The change was present during our free time, for the most part. For the first couple of days, our group stayed in small groups. We all did activities and played games together because it's a tightly knit group, but each individual stayed closest to their two or three closest friends, and no one ever went out of their comfort zone. As the week moved on, more football, cards, frisbee, mind games, and other games were played, and more interesting native culture was shared. Everyone spent every moment they could hanging out in our little living room, to the point where we ran out of seating and popped the blow-up couch that Luke brought. Even this didn't stop people from sitting on the floor and continuing to learn about the other members of the group and enjoying their time doing so. By the end of the week, the group was more open to being around whoever and accepting every other individual, regardless of differences. The garden, warehouse, bus, and carnival all made a difference that will last a lifetime, and their work should not be discredited. But this idea of getting along with, listening to, and accepting the way of life of another culture and exploring our differences is one that we can all spread and make a difference bigger than just this church or the town of Mission. By spreading this change in outlook, we can make a difference that affects everyone and lasts forever. To me, that was the most important reason we all got on that bus. To spread a better, more open, and accepting mindset and show love to everyone, regardless of their background. Thank you.
Every time, it's always funny. Good morning. My name's Annie Heitman, and I'm going to be a junior this year. This summer, as you know, I got the opportunity to go on work trip to South Dakota with our church. It was an amazing experience where I made so many memories and new friends. But through the course of this week, Friday, I would have to say, was my favorite day. Building up to that day, on Monday, me and Sydney decided to plan a free carnival for the community with games, food, and prizes. To be honest, we really had no idea what we were doing or if it would even work out. We'd certainly never planned an event by ourselves, let alone a carnival. But we wanted to make it happen. Over the next few days, she and I planned, collected materials, made flyers and volunteer groups, and hoped and prayed it would all come together in the end, and that people would even show up. But after a long, hot, full day of planning on Thursday, all we could do was pray for it to work out. On Friday morning, with little prior knowledge, our whole group stepped up to make our dream become a reality. There were prizes, there were games, there was cotton candy, popcorn, snow cones, and most importantly, there were smiling volunteers ready to greet the community. And the best part was, people actually showed up. A lot of people from the community came to our event. There was laughing and smiling from all age groups, 6 and 60-year-olds alike, playing carnival games and enjoying snacks together. Another booth we added was a prayer booth. At the booth, we collected the names of children and families and their specific prayer requests. Also, names of youth and adults, which we will be praying over for the whole rest of the year. In this way, we are staying connected to the community throughout the entire year. Through this impactful booth, as well as the fun games and food, the payoff of seeing the community come together and have a good time was better than I could have ever imagined. The experience of work trip is honestly unlike anything else. And if you ever get the opportunity to go, I encourage you, please come, especially if you're a high schooler, unsure if you should go next year, summer, or worried you don't know anyone else who's going. But don't worry, you have 30 new best friends waiting for you to come on Work Trip 2020. I hope to see you there.